This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
And welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young in today. And we're talking to one of my favorite people to talk to. That's Ira Melman. He's a spokesman for the Federation of American Immigration Reform. And Ira's got a unique finger on the pulse of what's happening in our country regarding immigration control. Ira, great to talk to you again.
Good to be back. Thanks very much.
Yes. Well, I want to start. There's two topics I want to get to, but the first is the Trump announcement regarding paying illegal aliens to self-deport. President Trump had this to say on that topic.
What we thought we'd do is a self-deport, where we're going to pay each one a certain amount of money, and we're going to get them a beautiful flight back to where they came from, and they have a period of time. And if they make it, we're going to work with them so that maybe someday, with a little work, they can come back in if they're good people, if they're the kind of people that we want in our company, industrious people that could love our country. And if they're not, they won't. But it will give them a path to becoming, you know, to coming back into the country. If they miss that limit, they're going to be taken out of our country. And they will never get a path to come back in. And it'll be a much tougher process.
Ira, what do you think about that perspective, or rather that proposal from President Trump?
Well, you know, the proposal sort of sets up a conflict between core principle and expedience. Obviously, you know, with 18.6 million people in this country illegally, we're not going to be able to round everybody up to arrest them, detain them, and deport them formally from the United States. And if you look, you know, even under the accelerated pace of this administration, they say they've only deported about 142,000 people, and a lot of those people were turnarounds at the border. So it's going to take a lot of time and effort. And I think what the president is suggesting here is that we give people some incentive. And, you know, Kristi Noem, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, has said pretty much the same thing on numerous occasions. There's an opportunity for people to go home and still have the possibility of being able to come back, because if we catch you and deport you, you can't come back again to the United States, as the president pointed out. So, you know, it's one of those things that it sort of goes against basic principle. People should obey our laws. We should not need to incentivize or bribe people to obey our laws. But at the same time, you know, the president's looking at this perhaps in a more practical way and saying, you know, if we can get people out of here for $1,000, that's a lot less expensive than going through the formal deportation process. So, you know, you can look at it both ways.
Well, I want to come back to that last point here in a moment. But what I like about this so much, Ira, is that it covers both a carrot and a stick, which we know just from using that as a euphemism for getting people to do something. The carrot is, we'll give you $1,000, put you on a plane and send you where you want to go. And the stick is that if you don't go out this way, we have to deport you the traditional way, you're not going to come back in this country. So do you think that giving both the carrot and the stick in this proposal will increase the number of self-deportations that we're seeing compared to years past?
Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, some people decide that, you know, they're going to take the carrot. Although, you know, when you come to think of it, it's $1,000 that they're offering. You know, given the fact that people have invested, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars in the smugglers to get them here, you know, it may influence a few people. But look, I mean, the objective here is to bring down that number. The administration has gotten the border under control. We are not seeing the masses of people coming across the border and entering the country anymore. The next step is to get the millions and millions of people who don't belong here out of the country. They're doing it through the process of, you know, as we've seen, sending ICE out, finding people. They're starting with the hardened criminals, but they're not excluding other people from deportation. And at the same time, encouraging people to leave on their own. That can be done either with $1,000. It can also be done by making clear that we're going to be policing the employers. You're not going to be able to get a job in this country. There are all sorts of ways to incentivize it. This is just one more. And again, it's obviously, the president being expedient here, thinking this will hasten the process, but we'll have to wait and see.
We're talking to Ira Mellman. He's the spokesman for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. And Ira, you mentioned it certainly is cheaper for that $1,000. And I've read in multiple sources that it costs $17,000 to deport an individual. So $1,000 is certainly more efficient. But here's, I want to move on to a slightly different topic, but within the same area. And that is this. We were told for 4 years during the Biden administration that we could not control the border without additional congressional action, that Congress had to step in, change the laws of our country, and then and only then could we control our southern border. How has Trump proven that position to be not only mistaken, but intentionally wrong?
Yeah, look, I mean, the President Biden was intentionally misleading the American public. He had all the presidential powers that Donald Trump has. He chose not to use it. He was really holding that border ransom for the kind of legislation that he wanted, which would have given amnesty to millions of people who are here illegally, that would have opened up new pathways for illegal aliens to come into the United States. They did this even without congressional authorization under the Biden administration. It was clear. He always had the authority to control the border, and President Trump proved that within the first month or so of his administration. We have seen the flow come to a trickle. In March, the last month for which there are official numbers, they apprehended 7,181 people at the southern border. That was a slow day under most of the Biden administration, and that was for an entire month. And Tom Homan, his border czar, said, of all the people who they have apprehended coming across the border since President Trump took office, they've only released 9 of them into the United States. So they had all that authority all the time. They chose not to use it. In fact, they refused to use it as leverage to get Congress to pass an amnesty bill that the American public didn't want, and to create just new ways for more and more people to come into the country, despite the fact that it undermined the interest of the American people.
Yeah, you mentioned that amnesty bill and what that would have done. But we had all of the Democrats supporting this bill. There was pressure on then-candidate Trump because he was advising people in Congress to not support this bill. But that would have essentially legalized a certain number of illegal immigrants coming into this country on a regular basis, wouldn't it?
It would. It's like raising the speed limit to 200 miles an hour and then taking credit for nobody speeding on the highway anymore. That is essentially what they were proposing. And even the border control measures that were in that bill would have been sunsetted after 3 years. The rest of the provisions would have remained, but after 3 years, all the enforcement measures would have just simply gone away.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, to me, I am so glad that Bill got defeated. We didn't need it. Trump has proven that, and anything else is just disingenuous about the fact that we supposedly needed Congress to act when just enforcing the current laws was all that was needed in order to shut down the southern border. Changing topics here slightly, it was announced today that Trump wants to reopen Alcatraz regarding the a place to house America's most ruthless and violent offenders. President Trump said this.
It represents something very strong, very powerful in terms of law and order. Our country needs law and order. Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate, right? Alcatraz, Sing Sing and Alcatraz, the movies. But it's right now a museum, believe it or not. A lot of people go there. It housed the most violent criminals in the world, and nobody ever escaped. One person almost got there, but they, as you know, the story, found his clothing rather badly ripped up, and it was a lot of shark bites, a lot of problems. Nobody's ever escaped from Alcatraz, and just represented something strong having to do with law and order. We need law and order in this country.
We do indeed. So, Ira Melman, what are your thoughts on reopening Alcatraz?
Well, you know, he didn't say that he was specifically going to use it to house people who were in the deportation process. But, we do need place to hold people in order to deport people, you know, the people who might not decide to go home on their own. We are going to need temporary places to hold them. They have used, in some cases, Guantanamo. They're using military bases. So we should use all the resources available. And if Alcatraz presents an opportunity, then so be it. But, you know, we're now going through the reconciliation process in Congress to appropriate money for the various departments. And the Department of Justice legislation to fund the Department of Justice includes a lot more money to create spaces to hold people, to detain people while we're in the process of deporting them. So, you know, I'm not sure the American public particularly cares where they're being held. As long as we're able to hold them, get them through the process and remove them from the country, the president has done his job.
Well, the president likes to point out a lot about the MS-13 gang members and the individuals in this country who are committing heinous crimes, terrible crimes. Would, in your perspective, would reopening Alcatraz create any degree of a disincentive for illegal immigrants to commit these heinous crimes that we've read a lot about here in the recent past?
Well, look, I mean, most of the crimes that they've been committing have been committed at the state and local level, and they have to go to state penitentiaries. But clearly, you know, we've had a problem with the previous administration allowing gang members into the United States. You mentioned MS-13. There's also Tren de Aragua. They have been terrorizing communities all across the United States. And one of the first acts that the president did when he came into office was he declared these violent gangs to be terror organizations, and we're getting those people out of the country. So we need to stop more people from coming in, and he's already checked that box. But at the same time, we also need to be removing these people. He's been using the Alien Enemies Act to get some of these folks out of here. That's tied up in the courts. He just needs to keep pushing against, you know, the forces that don't want us to remove anybody from the country, including violent criminals. We also need to start going after the sanctuary jurisdictions that protect these violent criminals from being removed from the country after they've served their terms. So it's a combination of things, whether it is holding them in a particular place, but it's also going to require that you have cooperation from state and local governments. And again, last week he signed another executive order going after these sanctuary cities and making them feel some pain if they're going to just simply turn these criminal aliens loose into the community and have them reoffend.
Well, Ira, last question. You saw, I believe it was last week, where the judge was arrested for literally hiding an illegal immigrant, instructing that illegal immigrant and his attorney on how to hide and evade capture by ICE officials. Yet the left raised a red herring issue about battling constitutional crisis between branches of government. What do you see about the fact that the FBI and federal officials arrested a sitting judge for her behavior? What are your thoughts?
Oh, she absolutely deserved it. This was clearly obstruction of justice. Whether she thinks these people should be removed from the country or not is irrelevant. If you have a duly enfranchised law enforcement agency that is sitting outside your courtroom waiting to arrest somebody, you don't usher that guy out the back door to try to help him evade being captured. You know, she's entitled to her opinion every bit as much as the rest of us are. But what no judge is entitled to is to obstruct the actions of a law enforcement department. And that is precisely what she did.
Absolutely. Ira Mellman, spokesman for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. If people want to follow you online or check out your website, how can they find you online?
Best place is to go to the website, which is fairus.org. That's FAIRUS.org, fairus.org.
Very good. Ira, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like,
we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.